I've been a part of Christian Assembly for about 15 years. It's hard to believe it's that long now, but 10 of those have been very long distance. I've been living in Kenya and have been working doing hospice care and also doing a lot of HIV work in a rural community in western Kenya. And about 3 years ago, I was married to Titus, and then we have a little girl, Ella, and we feel incredibly blessed to be a part of this community, and Harvest Weekend is one of my favorites, so I feel honored to be here and grateful that you would have us this weekend. So I think we can jump in, and hopefully you'll catch up on all the other details in the talk. So let me start by praying, and then we can continue. Jesus, thank you so much for this day and for this place and for an opportunity to remember and to reflect upon your goodness. God, we are incredibly grateful for your presence in our lives, for the ways that you have saved us, for the ways that you have allowed us to be a part of a community. God, speak to us this day. May your presence just rain down in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, like I said, I'm so blessed to be a part of this weekend and the harvest. I think that there's something that's so life-giving about gathering with loved ones to remember and to celebrate God's goodness. Just prior to our coming to the States, there was a patient at the hospice, a younger man named Joseph who had an extensive facial tumor that was no longer treatable for cure. And he had come with excruciating pain and felt isolated. While at his bedside, he shared these words. He said, "I came with so much pain and felt so alone, but because of the love that I've experienced in this place, I know that God is good." Mungu yu mwema, God is good. In this time that we are together, my hope and desire is that we too will taste and see once again that our God is good. Richard Rohr writes that prayer is sitting in the silence until it silences us, choosing gratitude until we are grateful, and praising God until we ourselves are an act of praise. This harvest weekend, I recognize that we all come with our own stuff. For some, this is a time of abundance. There are so many reasons to celebrate and to give thanks. For others, there are much darker realities that overshadow this season. And for still others, you're somewhere in the middle. But whatever our circumstances may look like today, we need God. These days, it's so hard to be still. There's always another task to get done, another app to explore, another message to update. But may God grant us a grace, even the discipline to be still enough, to know that He is God, to experience that no matter what the world or our circumstances are screaming, He is good. He hasn't changed. He isn't leaving. He is closer than we can comprehend, and He is good. From that place of silence and stillness, may we choose gratitude. May it shape us, displacing any cynicism, bitterness, pride, or fear. May this choice of gratitude give us new eyes to see the world. Gratitude never allows us to grow in complacency. It urges us on to generosity. It breeds trust, ever growing our hearts to love God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Henry Nouwen writes that where there is reason for gratitude, there can always be found a reason for bitterness. It is here that we are faced with the freedom to make a decision. We can decide to be grateful or to be bitter. We can decide to recognize our chosenness in the moment, or we can decide to focus on the shadow side. I had a friend named Betty who recognized her chosenness. It's been several years since she passed away, but she remains an example to me of what it means to choose gratitude. There were so many reasons for Betty to give up or to complain. By the world's standards, she was poor. She really had no earthly possessions. She was a single mother who had been used and battered by countless men. She was HIV positive and knew the complications of living life without an immune system. But there was something that set Betty apart. She had encountered the love of Jesus Christ, and it had transformed her. Thankfulness exuded from her lips and from the actions of her life. I still remember the way she would smile when she would say, "I think I'm God's favorite." Long before the first American Thanksgiving, the first time Thanksgiving is mentioned in Scripture is in Leviticus 7, and it says this, "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings that one may offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with a thanksgiving sacrifice unleavened loaves mixed with oil, unleavened wafers smeared with oil, and loaves of fine flour mixed with oil. With the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving, he shall bring his offering with loaves of leavened bread." The peace offering is an offering expressing our gratitude to God for his provision and mercies. It isn't an accident that peace is tied with gratitude. The peace of God goes hand in hand with us giving thanks to God. As I read this scripture, I was really intrigued by the phrase, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. In reading further, the Hebrew word karbanat, it's usually translated as sacrifices or offerings. However, both of these terms, they make a suggestion of a loss of something or a giving up of something. And although this is certainly part of the ritual, it's not at all what the original word meant. The word karbanat comes from a root word which means to draw near, as an indication that the primary purpose of the offerings is to draw near to God. The purpose of us giving thanks is to come closer to God. It is to help us to remember that to this point, God has been our help. Not just in grand, intangible ways, but in the details of our lives. There are so many demonstrations of this throughout scriptures. I want us to read together from Psalm 107 in the bulletin. It's long, but we can get through it. So it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. For he has gathered the exiles from many lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless. Hungry and thirsty, they nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, imprisoned in iron chains of misery. They rebelled against the words of God, scorning the counsel of the Most High. That is why he broke them with hard labor. They fell, and no one was there to help them. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He led them from the darkness and deepest gloom. He snapped their chains. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. For he broke down their prison gates of bronze. He cut apart their bars of iron. Some were fools. They rebelled and suffered for their sins. They couldn't stand the thought of food, and they were knocking on death's door. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and sing joyfully about his glorious acts. It's so important for us to remember where God has brought us from. For the past 10 years, like I mentioned, my personal story has been lived in a little village in Kenya. It's become my home, a place of great wonder and extravagant beauty, but it's also filled with brokenness. Like it says in what we just read in Psalm 107, we the children of God, we the redeemed, we need to tell our story. So I took some time and have just been reflecting on the ways that God has worked in my life and in the ministry around me. And I want to share some of those with you. We'll begin with a young girl named Genevieve. There's a video. She's an 18-year-old who was a part of Living Room for a while.
I'm Genevieve Lodeny. I have HIV/AIDS, and I'm a Christian.
Genevieve is an 18-year-old who has been in HIV treatment for most of her life. And we met her first at a nearby HIV clinic where Living Room often serves as a shelter for its patients. And Genevieve was failing to thrive, wasting so much and unable to eat or tolerate any food. You looked at her and she looked like a skeletal frame, like that there was nothing else, you know, remaining except if you'd look in her eyes.
When I became weaker and weaker, and even I never had strength to walk, I was taken, Mumbling wrote a letter and I was taken to Living Room.
So by the time she got to us, I think she probably felt like she was at the end of her life.
One day I was telling my grandmother, me, I'm going to die. Me, I'm going to die. I don't wish to die. I just fear death since I was small.
So often, I don't know what the outcomes are going to be. You know, I used to predict, and sometimes I still think I could know, but with Genevieve, I really felt like there was still a chance for her and that we needed to give all that we could, you know, to give her a chance to live.
I like the Living Room because the doctors were good to me. They never harassed me. When I was in pain, they checked on me very much. And even they advised me, even I had said that I will not swallow the medicine.
Genevieve, when she arrived to Living Room, I mean, she couldn't tolerate anything by mouth. And it was a slow, hard process. And she came when she weighed about 40 pounds. And over the course of the next weeks, she was able to gain about 18 pounds with us.
But I saw God never left me alone. He raised me up quickly. He told me, you'll never die. Yes.
It's amazing, actually, to watch someone who feels like life is over and like maybe even I'm not lovable, I'm not loved, and then to experience that. And I think it's a process.
To me, I always think that hope is just to have faith. It's just like to have faith that you will be healed.
One of the things that I think has created success stories in Living Room is people realizing again that they're loved. And that changes a lot of things.
I'm Genevieve Lodeny. I have HIV/AIDS, and I'm a Christian.
Get out of here, you birds.
These are hens.
Get out of here, hens.
I love that she smiled at the end, because that's so much who she is when she's off the camera, and so I'm glad there was a glimpse of that. But I thank God for not leaving, for giving Genevieve back her life. For that, we give thanks. And for sweet Dorcas, who came to the living room with no light left in her eyes. Her body was broken, in need of more love than we could give. We cried out to the Lord in Dorcas's trouble, and he saved her from her distress. He provided food to nourish her body and gave her joy that has filled our hallways with resounding laughter. We give thanks. Kevin came to the living room, an 18-year-old boy whose small sore had tragically turned into a massive, untreatable tumor. His pain was excruciating, and he felt so alone. He traveled 600 miles in hopes of finding relief. We cried out to the Lord in Kevin's trouble, and the Lord saved him from his distress. He provided Kevin with the pain medication and loving hands to hold his. He gave us the grace to be present as he finished his days here on this earth. We give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. I'm grateful for my family and my husband and the ways that God has entrusted us with a little girl named Ella, and allowing us to watch as she discovers the world around her. Oh, she keeps us on our toes. But I've been reminded so many times that she's a gift, undeserved. I'm so grateful for the village that literally spans the world, that loves our girl and is helping us to raise her. We give thanks. I'm thankful for the dirt paths I get to walk, which allow me to witness the fastest, often barefooted children in the world run with their unfathomable speed. God hasn't forgotten us. A gift undeserved. We give thanks. For the beauty of creation, stars that cannot be counted, revealing the vastness of God. A sun that rises and sets each day, reminding us that God is still with us. It's a gift, and we give thanks. For the laughter of a community of patients and staff at Living Room who are fiercely competitive at playing Connect Four and checkers and sequence. Their joy is such a gift. For the tears of a community of patients and staff as we say goodbye almost every day. Sharing the grief, as painful as it feels, is a gift. Just before we left to come to the States, there was a young girl who was about to finish college from our community, and she suddenly passed away. I sat next to her mother in a room filled with our neighbors. I was so moved by the voice of a heartbroken mother as she sang these words from a hymn that had been translated into Swahili. We sang, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, and hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. And while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." the words of Charles Spurgeon, any man can sing in the day. When the cup is full, man draws inspiration from it. When wealth rolls in abundance around him, any man can praise the God who gives a plenteous harvest. The difficulty is for music to swell forth when no wind is stirring. It is easy to sing when we can read by the notes of daylight, but he is skillful who sings when there is not a ray of light to read by. Lay me upon the bed of languishing, and how shall I then chant God's high praises unless he himself gives me the song? For his nearness to our broken hearts, we give thanks. Last year, there was a patient named Maggie who came, and she was this beautiful woman, a mother of 5 children. And as she was dying, her request was for them to be known and loved. God saved those precious little ones from their distress. He gave them a home with an opportunity to go to school and to be loved. And for that, we give thanks. Planting season came this year, and seeds were placed in the dirt. We waited and waited, but the rains didn't come. Our food and survival seemed dependent upon an empty sky. Some quiet words of faith were spoken from a Kenyan mother into my ear. Whether it rains or not, she said, let us know that God is our provider. Her speaking revealed this truth. Trust is necessary in the journey of thanksgiving. I'm grateful that the skies eventually opened, but not before the hard words of Habakkuk had already come to life. Even though the fig tree have no blossom, and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. We cried out to the Lord in our trouble, and he delivered us from our distress. We're so grateful for his salvation. We give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. What's your story? How has God shown up in your life? What are the ways that he has met you when you've so desperately needed? I want to encourage you these days leading up to Thanksgiving to take time to remember and to reflect. I am 100% convinced that it is dangerous to our faith when we forget, when we fail to remember how God has been our help. In preparing for this weekend, I took some time to look at the ways and the times that Jesus gave thanks throughout the Gospels. And although we don't have time to go through it in depth this morning, I just want to look at a few of the stories. They really have ministered to me. There's a famous Sunday school story from Matthew 15 where Jesus and the disciples have been out for several days, and Jesus doesn't want to send the people away hungry. He says, you know, we've been here 3 days. They're going to faint on their way home. But the disciples, they say, well, we're in the wilderness. Where are we going to get food to feed all these people? And Jesus said, well, what do we have? And they said, we have some fish and we have some bread. So Jesus took it. He told the people to sit down, and he gave thanks, and he broke them into pieces. He gave them to the disciples, who distributed the food to the crowd. Jesus took some bread and some fish, and he thanked God for it. When I read that, I thought about the way that Jesus was giving thanks for simple things. It makes me wonder, are there simple things in our day-to-day life that we are overlooking or not taking the opportunity to give God thanks for. I want us to have the eyes to see the gifts that are before us, the opportunities, as simple as they may seem, for us to pause and to draw near to God by giving thanks. But also in this passage, Jesus gave thanks even when it seemed like it wouldn't be enough. Yes, the bread and fish were multiplied and would feed the crowd, but there's a lesson about trust here for us. Jesus had the confidence in his relationship with the Father. He knew that his Father wanted to give good gifts to his children. Jesus longed for his disciples, for us, to get this. He understood that the offering of thanks is always about drawing closer to the Father. He does not give thanks with the attitude of, well, I better give thanks for the little or it'll be taken away too. Nor does he give thanks like it's a magical formula that will then be multiplied. It was, but that wasn't the point. He gave thanks to the Father. In another story, in Matthew 11, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." Jesus gave thanks for the Father's heart towards the vulnerable. The wise and the powerful, they had failed to recognize that God favored the children, the meek, that Jesus summons not the mighty or the wise to follow him, but the humble who were carrying heavy burdens, the weary one whose hope was in God alone, the poor in spirit, the meek, the merciful, the persecuted. They are the ones that Jesus calls blessed. I live so much of my life around those who are considered to be the weak of the world. These friends are often defined by the labels that they wear. Poor, sick, dying, disabled, orphan, widow. Apart from an upside-down kingdom of God, there is so little that is appealing about their condition. But like Jesus, I thank God for his heart that's towards the vulnerable, for the ways that he has given them the faith in the midst of suffering, for the ways that he has used them to reveal God to me. You know, they've taught me, they've shown me just by who they are, even areas in my life that there's pride or there's issues of generosity or self-reliance. I'm grateful for them. I'm grateful for God's heart that is for them. During this Thanksgiving CA, what is it that God is wanting to do within us as a community to enlarge our hearts? The opportunities to love that surround us are endless, but we need the eyes to see and the ears to hear what it is that God's Spirit is leading. Lastly, I saw when looking at the scriptures about Jesus giving thanks is that he did it during hard times. In John 11, his friend had just died and was buried, and he was grieving along with Lazarus' family. His thanks was not for death or grief or sorrow, but was somehow through it. He also chose gratitude on the night that he would share his last meal with his greatest friends. It must have been a night filled with so many emotions. He knew the bread represented his body that was about to be beaten, and his blood that was about to be poured out for the sins of the world. He also knew that he was going to be betrayed by his friend. He knew that he would be arrested, tortured, and killed. But through the madness of it all, he gave thanks. I echo these words that are written by Anne Voskamp when she writes, "I've held dying babies, eaten with those who live on town garbage heap, wept with women who've been violated, with the bankrupt, the heart crushed, the terminal. And this never stops being true. Neglecting to give thanks only deepens the wound of the world." On October 12th of this year, we had about 50 people come to Long Beach and participate in different races to create awareness and to raise funds for a living room. And one of the people that came was a runner from Kenya. We sent her to be an ambassador. Her name is Rispa. Rispa Kimayo is a gentle and kind woman, but she is crazy fast. And in just under 2 hours and 42 minutes, she ran 26.2 miles and she won the Long Beach Marathon. And so I'm sitting in my home in Kenya by myself, following through Facebook and through texts, and I was so nervous and chanting, "Go Rispa, go Rispa, please go Rispa." Well, 364 days earlier, I stood on a field in Kenya as we held the first annual Kimberley-O Hospice Marathon. It was a day that we had so prayed for. It was a day that was to be about hope and victory. A young man named Geoffrey, he was running in the race and he was at mile 25. He was running a 5 minute per mile pace and he was about to win. And he collapsed and he suddenly died. And when I learned that news that day, it was an utter horror. I stood on a field with thousands of spectators as they waited for this man to arrive. But on that day also, it was like death. It won. It defeated us that day. Death had the final word. And I felt so defeated by it. So nearly 1 year later, as I'm in my house and I'm chanting and it's growing louder, "Go Rispa, go Rispa, go Rispa." It wasn't so much about fast running or had nothing to do with PR for living room. There was a wound in my soul that God was wanting to heal. And he was whispering to me, "Death will not always win." Oh, we give thanks for that. There are questions without answers and heartaches that may last until eternity. But praise God that death won't always win. My friends, this Thanksgiving, may we draw near to God as he also draws near to us. I want us to close this time together by reading a prayer together. It will be on the screen, so if you can read the lines that say "all." Lord God, creator of all, in your wisdom, you have bound us together so that we must depend on others for the food we eat, the resources we use, the gifts of your creation that brings life, health, and joy. Loving God, holy be the hands that sew our clothes so that we do not have to go naked. Sacred be the hands that build our homes so that we do not have to be cold. Blessed be the hands that work the land so that we do not have to go hungry. Holy be the feet of all who labor so that we might have rest. Sacred be the feet of all who run swiftly to stand with the oppressed. Blessed be the feet of all whose body are too weary or broken to stand. Holy be the sound of children laughing to take away our sorrow. Sacred be the sound of water falling to take away our thirst. Blessed be the sound of your people singing to heal our troubled hearts. Holy be the bodies of those who know hunger. Sacred be the bodies of those who are broken. Blessed be the bodies of those who suffer. In your mercy and grace, soften our callous hearts and fill us with gratitude for all the gifts that you have given us. In your love, break down walls that separate us and guide us along your path of peace, that we might humbly worship you in spirit and in truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray and believe. Amen.